the message of God's entire word, the blood of Jesus, from the very beginning. The Lord sacrificed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve. Abel offered a sacrifice unto God. The Lord said, when I see the blood concerning that Passover lamb, I'll pass over you. And we'll see that blood for all eternity and sing its praises. Psalm 130 tonight. We'll read our text. And David said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would once again be with us here tonight as we have gathered together to open your word and to hear your gospel and to worship your son. And I pray that his presence would be with us once again, Lord. May this truly be a time where Christ is honored and Christ is praised. And would you just give us the ability in this flesh to worship him tonight. It's in his wonderful and blessed name that we pray. Amen. David, in this psalm, writes that he was in the depths. And in many of the psalms, and we'll look at quite a few of them tonight, actually, David was in this place, in the depths. This is actually a place that the children of God find themselves quite often. Salvation begins in the depths. And there are many times in our life that we find ourselves in those depths once again. What is it to be in the depths? I was listening to a message the other day, and the preacher asked a question. He said, have you ever felt the pain of sin in your soul? Have you felt the pain of sin in your soul? Has it pierced your heart? If you felt the pain of sin in your soul, then you know what conviction is. And in the depths, we experience conviction. Conviction of sin is a deep, deep work in the soul. Salvation begins here in the depths. When God Almighty begins a work of grace in the sinner, it is a work of conviction. And that conviction is performed in the depths. And here, David in our text says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. It is in the depths of conviction that a sinner comes to know some truths. It is in the depths of conviction that a sinner comes to know that he is sin. A sinner comes to understand who and what he is. That he is sin. That he is vile. That he is corrupt. That he is dark. That he is depraved. That he is nothing but sin. David said, I was shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. There is nothing good in this flesh. Nothing. In the depths, a sinner comes to know that he is sin and all he does is sin. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They have all gone astray. They have all corrupted their ways. There is nothing good that we do. Everything we do is mixed with sin. In the depths, a sinner comes to know who God is. Comes to know that God is holy, that God is sovereign, that God is just, that God is righteous, that God is true. Isaiah, upon seeing the Lord on his throne, cried out, "Woe is me! I've seen the God on his throne. Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a sinful man." Isaiah was in the depths there. He was in the depths. In the depths, a sinner comes to understand the weight of his sin. He knows that he has sinned against God and is under the judgment and condemnation of the law. That publican, who would not even lift up his head to heaven, but smote on his chest and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know what I deserve. God is just and holy. I deserve God's wrath. I deserve God's punishment." The world doesn't know that. The world doesn't know that. The world believes that God owes them a second chance, that God owes them an offer, that God owes them something. The only thing that God owes us is judgment. The wages of sin. You know what wages are? Is what you are owed. The wages of sin is death. In the depths, a sinner understands that there is absolutely nothing he can do to save himself. He is in the depths and there's no way out. He is hedged about by God's law, hedged about by God's justice. He is condemned and he has no escape. He cannot do anything to save himself. That's why David so many times in the psalm said, "Lord, I'm poor and needy. I'm poor and I'm needy. I need you. If we're going to be saved, God's got to do something for us. He's got to save us." Look at Psalm 51. We're going to look at a couple psalms. I want us to see that Psalm 51 describes quite a few of these very well. What is it to be in the depths? David said in Psalm 51, this is after Nathan had revealed unto him, and he declared that he had sinned. He said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me." That's what the sinner is going to cry in the depths. "Have mercy on me, O God," according to what? "According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." I need your loving kindness. I need your mercy. "Wash me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." If I'm going to be clean, the Lord has to wash me. He's got to wash me. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." How is that going to happen? The Lord's got to wash you. And he said, "I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I've sinned against you. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." He understood who he sinned against. His sin was against God. "That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest." Lord, I justly deserve your condemnation. I deserve the full penalty of God's law. I deserve all your wrath, for I've sinned against you. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And God is holy. God is just. God is of pure eyes and behold evil. God will not simply clear the guilty. "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." And guess what? There's no truth in my inward parts. Who's going to approach unto God? He that has clean hands and a clean heart. There's no purity in me. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Again, if I'm going to be clean, you have to do something for me. You have to purge me. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness at the bones which thou hast broken. May rejoice. The Lord lifteth the beggar up out of the dunghill, doesn't he? He bringeth low that he will lift up. He kills that he will make alive. Look at Psalm 38. Psalm 38 and verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath. That's just another way of asking for mercy, isn't it? Lord, don't rebuke me in your wrath. Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of mine anger. What was it Paul said? When the law came, sin revived. When God shows us a law, and we see that we haven't kept it. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden, they're too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, the disease of sin. And there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness in my heart. And we do feel it in the heart, don't we? It's not just something we know. It's not just something that we know here. It's something we feel here. It's something we feel in the soul. We grieve over our sin. We mourn over our sin. Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. In the depths of despair, and only in the depths of despair and pain, a sinner of God, or a sinner by the power of God, cries out for mercy and forgiveness. Only in the depths will a sinner cry out for mercy and forgiveness. And thanks be to God, from the throne of heaven, God Almighty hears the cries of his people from the depths. David wrote in Psalm chapter 3, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me, and in my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God, and he heard me out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. God hears the cries of his sheep, doesn't he? God hears the cries of his lost sheep. He knows where they are. And God Almighty goes out into the wilderness and he finds those sheep. He searches and seeks for them and he finds them as they're crying out to him, lost, helpless, unable to do anything for themselves. And he takes his sheep and he puts them on his shoulders and he carries them home. What a comfort for sinners to know that God hears their cries. Thought about over in Exodus when the Lord spoke unto Moses. There the children of God are in bondage under the Egyptians. In Egypt always, in the Old Testament and throughout the whole Word of God, Egypt always represents this world. Egypt represents the state of man in this world under the bondage of sin, living in this world of corruption. And they cried out unto him under that bondage. And the Lord appeared unto Moses, and he said, I am the Lord. You go tell my people I heard their cries. You go tell them. And you tell them I'm going to deliver them. And he did. They had the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. The Lord revealed the gospel unto them, revealed Christ unto them. Said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And as Moses stood before the Red Sea, what did he do? He said, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord delivered him right out of Egypt on dry land. And for 40 years, they wandered through the wilderness. And that's what we do, isn't it? We wander through the wilderness of this world. Unfortunately, constantly complaining, just like they did. Constantly rebelling, just like they did. But nevertheless, he remembered his covenant. And that's what he does for us. And then Moses sat there on the top of that mountain. As Joshua led them across the River Jordan to the Promised Land. God hears our cries. The depths are a place of darkness. The depths are a place of corruption, bitterness, pain, sorrow, and bondage. However, the depths are not a place of despair. The depths are not a place of complete loss or absence of hope. You see, the depth is where Christ meets sinners. It is there that a sinner sees and experiences the power of God and salvation. It is there in that deep, dark depths that grace and mercy and peace are found. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He cried out unto him. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and he heard my cry. And you know what he did? He brought me up. Brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on Christ. He set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings. And he put a song of rejoicing and praise in my mouth. A song of praise unto God. Read in Psalm, he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. When we cry out, my friends, God shall deliver us. He shall. He promised he would. He shall. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. The righteous, God's people, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. There in the depths, salvation is found when a sinner cries out. It is a place of darkness, but it's not a place of despair. I pray to God he would place every one of us in the depths tonight. I pray he would place my children in the depths tonight. Your children in the depths tonight. And cause us all together to cry out unto him for mercy. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. He is gracious, abundant in mercy, abundant in grace. There is no depth that is too deep for the arm of God to reach down and save his people. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. How deep is the depths that you are in? His arm's not shortened. He knows exactly where you are. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Return unto thy rest. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, David said. That wasn't the first time David was in the depths in Psalm 51. God, don't let us go. Don't let me go. Don't let me go. Don't let me go out into this world. What do you say? Will you go away also? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. He's able to keep us. We're to thank God at all times for all things, aren't we? We talk about going through trials and temptations. We talk about the sufferings that we endure in this world. But thank God for them. Thank God for them. Next time I'm in the depths, I pray the Lord cause me to thank him for that. The Lord God Almighty has saved us from the depths. And thanks be to God, there is forgiveness with him. And this is important. Forgiveness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How is it covered? By the blood of the Lamb. That's how it's covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit is no guile. While I kept silence, my bones waxed old, and my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my soul. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. There in the depth, the Lord's going to lay you bare. He's going to strip you. He's going to take away all that pride. He's going to take away all that haughtiness. He's going to take away all that self-righteousness. He's going to take away every good thing you think of yourself. And he's going to strip you bare to where the only thing you are is sin. And you're just going to cry out for forgiveness. Peter said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. There is forgiveness with God. Look at Psalm 103. I've only got a couple more passages I want us to look at tonight, but I want us to look at this. Psalm 103. David said in so many of the passages, Lord, thou hast heard my cry. Thou hast answered my prayer. He said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was in, all within me, bless his holy name. When the Lord delivers us up out of that miry pit and sets our feet upon Christ, upon that rock, he gives us a new song. What is that song? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We saw that this morning. The children of God, they'll suffer in this world, but they will never suffer for their sins. He hasn't rewarded us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord has not dealt with us after our sin. He forgave us. Thank God for that. That's why David said, Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger. How does God deliver sinners out of the depths? As we mentioned, the depths is a place of bondage, the place where a sinner realizes that he is shut up to God's law. It is there that he understands in order for him to be set free, the law of God must be satisfied. God will not simply clear the guilty. God's law must be satisfied. God's holy. God's holy. It has to be satisfied. He's just. He is a just God and a Savior, but he's a just God. That cannot be compromised. There is forgiveness with God, but understand that forgiveness does not come at the sacrifice of the satisfaction of God's law. It must be satisfied, and sin must be punished. God Almighty entered into a covenant of grace with his Son before the foundation of the world. He chose a people in Christ, gave them to Christ, who became their surety. And in order to save those whom the Father gave him from the depths of the pit, Christ had to go into the pit. He hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, the curse that held us in that depth, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When Christ suffered and died on the cross as a substitute for his people, he entered in to the depths. He entered into the depths. But for him, there was no mercy found. For him, there was no grace. For him, there was no forgiveness. When Christ entered into the depths, there was only the wrath of God. Look at Psalm 22. These are the words of our Savior. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? By the grace of God, I'll never know what it is to be forsaken by the Father. Forsaken. The children of God are accepted in the Beloved. We'll never know what it is to be forsaken by God because we are accepted in the Beloved. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? He helped us when we roared. He was nigh unto us when we cried. But when the Son of God cried, he was far from helping. O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Why are you so far from helping me? They cried unto thee, and they were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man. How does the great I am declare I am a worm? He was made sin. That's the only way I know to describe it. And that's, I can't even enter into that. A reproach of men and spies of the people. All they that see me, they laugh at me to scorn. And that's what they did as our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, hung on the cross of Calvary. They laughed at him to scorn. All day they see me laughing in scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, see if he delighteth in him. He said he saved others, himself he could not save. As we said this morning, it was love that kept him on that cross. It was love. He had to endure the wrath of God in order to save those whom God the Father gave him. He had to drink the cup full. He had to satisfy God's law and God's justice. He could not save himself. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped at me with their mouth as a ravening and roaring lion, and I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. There on the cross of Calvary, the Son of God suffered in the depths under the wrath and punishment of God for the sin of his people. He was perfect. He was spotless. But he suffered for the sins of his people. Suffered like no man suffered. And do you know that there on the cross, he made a plea for forgiveness? Look at Luke chapter 22, or Luke chapter 23. There on the cross of Calvary, after he had been mocked, beaten, the beard stripped out of his face, the crown of thorns placed upon his head. There, the cross of Calvary, bloody, marred, unrecognizable. The pain, the suffering. There, at the apex of man's sin. Where man's hatred for God was most revealed.
They cried out, "Crucified him." We cried out, "Crucified him." He was delivered into the hands of the people, and that's what they wanted to be done. Luke chapter 23, our Savior is there suffering. Verse 33. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, forgive them.'" In his darkest hour, what was on his heart? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What a gracious Savior we have. What a God. What a Savior. Truly, his ways are not our ways, are they? They're just not. They're just not. There in the depths, the sinner waits, hoping in the Word of God. And that's our only source of hope. Only source of hope is God's Word. Everything written here, that's my hope. That's my hope. Why do I know that God's going to deliver me out of the depths? Because of His Word. Why do I know that He will deliver His people out of the depths? Because He said so. He is God. He cannot lie. He has declared the end from the beginning. Everything here is my hope. And I'm going to hope in His Word. And I'm going to wait by the grace of God patiently. We wait. He knows there is forgiveness with God. With the Lord, there is mercy and redemption, and He shall redeem His people. Wait on Him. Wait on Him. Are you in the depths tonight? Are you in the depths right now? Wait on Him. If you're not, you soon will be. Remember these words. Wait on Him. Hope in His Word. I pray I remember it, because I don't most of the time. Usually I fret. Usually I murmur, and usually I complain, and usually I fear and I doubt. David said, "Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear." I do fear most of the time. And I'm just being honest. God, give us faith. God, give us faith to, anytime we're in the depths, to cry out to Him, knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Knowing that He shall reach down and pick us up every single time. Until that time when He gathers us and takes us home. "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation." What else am I going to do? From Him cometh my salvation. So I'm going to wait on Him. And whatever it is that I'm going through, however long I'm in that depths, I know it's for my good and He's coming. God caused me just to wait patiently. Patiently. He only is my rock and my salvation. I've got nowhere else to go. I got nowhere else to go, even in the depths. I got nowhere else to go. I'm waiting on Him. I'm not going to try to escape. I'm not going to try and do something to get out. Although we do that a lot in this flesh. We try to make the best out of situations, don't we? Thinking we can do something, but we can't. We can't. That's a vain hope. "I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. There's a bowing wall, a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Wait, my soul. Wait thou only upon God. Only. For my expectation is from Him. He is only my rock and my salvation, my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Wait and hope in Him. David said, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him." Do we fear Him? Do we fear Him? "Upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee." Is there anyone tonight in the depths? Is there anyone in the depths? Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe we find ourselves in the depths again. Is anyone in the depths? Come to Christ. Come to Him. Look to Him. Cry out to Him. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy on him." He will. "And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." How much forgiveness do you need? He will abundantly pardon. How great is your sin? He will abundantly pardon. Say, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls." The Lord said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast him out." Out of the depths, out of the depths. If you find yourself in the depths, my friends, cry out to God. Cry out to Him for mercy. Cry out to Him for grace. Cry out to Him for forgiveness.